recordings have started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the RPM TMCH question sub-team call held on Friday, the 21st of October, 2016. On the call today, we have Susan Payne, Ed Morris, Paul Tattersfield, Kathy Kleinman, and Kurt Pritt. We have listed apologies from J. Scott Evans. From staff, we have Mary Wong, David Tate, Leah Otanis, and myself, Terry Ackerman. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. With this, I'll turn it back over to you, Kathy. Please begin.
Great. Thanks, Terry. Appreciate it. And everyone, I want to thank you for your outstanding and amazing service to the working group. This is our second subgroup call of the week, and we had a working group call, so it's been a crazy week, even as we prepare for India. So thank you very much. The purpose today is to continue our discussion of earlier this week on the charter questions, and I'm going to open it now just for general discussion of the types of revisions that have been presented. Mary, I know we didn't talk about this ahead of time, but maybe you can talk about the table that you put together. I'd be happy to talk about the comments I posted. And Kurt, I didn't even have a chance to look at what you posted, but maybe you want to give kind of an overview of what you were thinking, not the details, but an overview, so we can kind of see what's on the table for us to be looking at. Thanks.
Hi, Kathy and everyone. This is Mary from staff. So what you see here is what staff prepared based on the sub-team's discussion and agreement from the last call. In other words, to make it easier for folks to review the questions, we have done essentially two things. One is to group them into categories using basically the categories that Paul had provided previously. So this is not chronological, as you see in the charter, but it is boxed by category, and we have at the top of the document the current suggested categories. The second thing that we did, again, as requested by the sub-team last time, was to go back and look at where each charter question came from, and you see that in the second column of each table, under context or background or origin. General comment here is that they all came from public comments, primarily to two papers that were published in the last year or so. One is the draft RPM paper that was published by ICANN for public comment in February of last year. The second is the more recent issue report that really framed the work for our PDP. So that's what we've put in the column there, and where we could say that the question was actually a specific question that we took verbatim from a public comment, we indicated as such. Then the third column is comments and suggestions, which we have picked up either from suggestions and questions and rephrasing that the sub-team made on the last call, or based on our review either of the sources of the comments in the second column. So that's kind of what it is, Kathy and everyone. I hope that's helpful.
That's very helpful, Mary, and thank you and David for your work on this. Kurt, do you want to say anything about what you introduced today, actually recently?
Yes, very recently, and I apologize for that. I was, you know, I was looking for the list of questions.
It's hard to keep track of everything. Don't worry.
Yeah, the ones on this table from Mary and David, and somehow it slipped right by me. And so I got up early to get ready for the meeting, and then I looked back, and there I was. So the table that Mary and David furnished, you know, has the far right hand column that seems to be asking for this group's recommendation on what the question should be or should be become. And so, given that we made certain commitments to working on this between the meetings, I wanted to at least put, you know, get my thoughts in there, and then I thought I'd share with the group. So we can either look at those, or, you know, as we go through these, I can kind of take what my suggestions are where I think it's appropriate and just put them into the chat and we can consider them there. So what I put in the far right-hand column of what I sent around are our proposed final additions of the question that could sure use some editing from this group. So
thanks, Kurt. And I'm just going to share that if you put it in the chat, I may not be able to read it. I'll try, but chat's really small compared to some of the other things on the page. So I'd much rather raise your hand, or just shout out, or both. Okay, and let's see. The suggestions that I made this morning also are in the agenda and the notes. So one thing also to think about as we go through this is, as Mary said, there's no particular order here, just the grouping of the questions, of the categories of the questions, which we asked staff to do and truly appreciate because it separates out and lets us see, what we've got in each kind of category. One of the things that it would be good for us just to keep in the back of our minds is what suggested order, if we have a suggested order of evaluation for the working group as well. They don't have to accept it, but if we see a very clear path for evaluation, we recommend you do this first and this first and this first because it makes sense kind of from our thinking. I'm sure the working group would welcome that information as well. Okay, it looks like we've been joined by Phil Corwin and Sarah Clayton. Phil and Sarah, we've just been kind of talking about some of the documents that have been passing in the listserv in our group over the last few days, and some people, including me and Kurt, missed the annotated table that Mary and David had circulated, and so I recirculated that this morning when I found it. Kurt then picked up on it, so it looks like we're all thinking about this anew, or some of us are thinking about this anew this morning. Okay, David, go ahead, and then we'll start a general discussion.
Thanks, Kathy. This is David Tate for the record. Just to make you aware, we do actually have Kurt's document available in the background if that would be easier for you to put that version of the document up, but it's entirely up to you.
I don't know about others. I'd prefer to work with the document that you guys circulated because that's the one I prepared off of. What do other people think? I'm open to either way.
I haven't actually reviewed Kurt's document, but as far as I can see, he's just added an extra column in, so I don't think it hurts. It makes it easier to read the text if we wanted to look at it.
Anybody else want to weigh in? Kurt, did you put any changes into anything that had been in the existing document, or is yours just a layer in addition?
It just fills in some of the blank spots on the column to the far right, proposed edited questions. So I didn't edit anything, any of the content that Mary or David provided.
Is everybody okay with looking at Kurt's document? I only pause because it means kind of processing in real time legal language and technical language, but what the heck, we can give it a shot.
I wouldn't call my language legal or technical.
So in that case, Kurt, why don't you take the first category, guidance, because looks like there were a few comments and suggestions, and you broaden that. So why don't I let you lead the discussion on this section? Is that okay?
I almost think I'm really looking for Susan's input on these. Remember, in the last meeting, we decided that we were undecided what the question meant and whether it meant should the verification guidelines for the existing categories of marks be considered and possibly revised, or does it mean there should be additional categories of marks considered? So we were going to write two different questions, so I took a shot at the two different questions. They're really short, but I was trying to keep them simple. And then in the second part, which is guidance, I just changed it from how can the TMCH provide education services to should, because my understanding is that that's not one of the, even though the TMCH did provide education, it's not in their remit. So should it be actually added to the scope of the clearinghouse? But that's sort of a judgment call on my thing. And I think, the other question is fine. So those are the two questions in that section, if anybody wants to opine.
Do you want to go into some detail on the underlying question? Was the original question was, should further guidance on verification guidelines for different categories of marks be considered? And are you proposing two variations of this or two? Right, you said two alternative questions. So maybe you could read them and talk about if it's an either or. You're recommending both as different variations, because I think we have to dive into the details.
Just to recap our discussion of last time, and again, I'd look to Susan and others on the call to refine my understanding, is that I'm sorry, Susan, I keep mentioning your name, but I think that Susan read the English correctly on the question.
And I'm happy to comment.
Go ahead, Susan.
I was happy to let you continue, but I was just saying, I'm happy to comment at any point.
Oh, okay. So Susan correctly read the English that said, should the verification guidelines be changed for the existing categories? But some, including me, thought the question was slightly misworded, and those that posed the question were really asking, should different categories of marks be accommodated in the clearinghouse, and if so, and then what should the verification criteria be? So the task for this meeting was to put up two questions, one that asked one and one that asked the other, and then decide for ourselves whether we just want to put one of these questions up in some reworded form, or whether we should put both questions to the bigger group and have them decide.
Okay. Great. I'll call on Susan in just a second, but I note that our discussion of last week, and I'll just read what May wrote, seems to go towards the process of verification by Deloitte. So the process, whatever process they have of verification, which I would assume is not just for registered marks, but of course for the court verified and other types of marks. And we seem to be leaning towards the fact that this particular question did not run towards the scope/standards of qualifying for entry into the TMCH. So not the threshold question, but a verification process question. But let me turn to Susan. Thanks, Susan.
Yeah, I think that's I would say that's right. Having basing this on the work that staff have very kindly done in going back and looking at the source of this question, it seems to me that it's very clear that it's around problems people had with understanding what was required of them in order to verify, in order for Deloitte to verify their rights. So it was around verification that the mark qualified, if you like, as opposed to anything else. So people talking about difficulties having to go back and forwards with staff in proving their mark, in proving their use, evidence of use, that kind of thing. Difficulties where it was non-Latin text. And so I think the question is very much around, are the current guidelines on verification adequate, or could they be improved?
Susan, how would we capture the list you just gave? Some of it's in the context, but are these are specific problems? Because this really, I think, fleshes out an important question. So these are specific problems people have been having as they were trying to register in the clearinghouse, language barriers, I don't know what error corrections are, certifications required. So it looks like the comments in our table include clear communications and better guidelines from the TMCH to those applying or submitting their marks. So that sounds like along the lines of what we're talking about. What about a question that included some more detail so that the some of the detail perhaps of our second column, the context, background, and origin, really based on what you just said, Susan, that provides the working group with some of these details so they can get their hands around what we think the verification process questions really are, because I think you've hit the nail on the head, and then the question for Kurt is, are we going in the right direction? Go ahead, Susan. It looks like your hand's up.
Yes, I forgot to take it down, but and then I realized I would just leave it up. I think that's right. I mean, in many ways, I think we can keep the questions. I mean, I think that question does need, you know, the original question could do with some tweaking, if you like. But the question itself necessarily need to be particularly lengthy. This is, after all, you know, a document, a sort of internal document for this wider working group, isn't it? So that, you know, something which just says, you know, almost a sub-paragraph which then just says, you know, by way of, you know, guidance, the following, you know, issues were some of those that people had, you know, people had raised in relation to the draft issue report or something like that. Do you think? I mean, it seems to me that, you know, the yeah. guidance is helpful, but it doesn't mean we need to have a question that goes on for three paragraphs.
Although, you know, the more the merrier. I mean, I really now in light of your comments and Kurt's background, I really like the second paragraph in the table, supported by various public comments to the draft RPM staff paper referring to administrative challenges, e.g. inconsistent submission requirements such as, and it goes on. The more information, not necessarily guidance, not necessarily direction, but information and background we can give the working group, the better it is. I think the first column combined with the second column may give us the answer. And some variation of what Kurt said.
I think that sounds reasonable.
Okay. So really this is, how can the should the verification criteria be clarified, really, or, you know, amended or clarified, and if so, how? And then the background, the whole background, as in that large, long paragraph. Does that make sense? And that way we can, it looks like we're trying to overcome hurdles that people actually encountered, so that gives direction to the working group that if they want more information, there are probably people out there who can inform this particular question for us. Go ahead, Kurt.
Yeah, so I agree, I except for my silly mistake here in this question number two. You know, should the verification criteria, you know, and that's the simple question, and then just put the background underneath it.
But it doesn't sound like we're talking about amending necessarily the verification criteria, but explaining it, streamlining it. I'm not sure we're amending it, because the original question asked for further guidance on verification guidelines. So I'm willing to go with Susan. It sounds like there's a communication gap going on.
So the verification guidelines are the criteria. Maybe I have a basic misunderstanding. Are they the criteria by which trademarks that apply for registration in the clearinghouse are either accepted or not?
That's my understanding, but Susan, you're probably the expert here. Can we ask you? Oh, Kieran's on too, and Paul Keating.
Well, I think the problems that were identified went more to people's lack of understanding about how information needed to be provided and how they worked with the TMCH in order to get verified. I think it's much more to the practical difficulties of verification rather than anything criteria-based.
Go ahead, Mary.
Thanks, Kathy, and thanks, Susan. That's what I was going to say. From the staff review of the comments, it was about the difficulties of working with the TMCH provider, and some of the examples are in the second column. So I don't recall a comment that specifically said that we must prescribe the verification guidelines or criteria. They just basically said, we're having a lot of problems, and it's just not clear what it is that we need to do, and we're not getting clear signals from the TMCH, if I may summarize.
Okay. Does anybody disagree with the direction we've adopted on the proposed edits to this question that we're going to interpret it as a clarification question, an understanding question? Kieran says it's primarily a communication problem for our clients as well. Okay, so we're on the right track. The only thing I'd point out under context, background, origin is that the design mark may be a different category here. I think, Mary, the design mark, it may fall under this, but whether design marks should be accepted at all, I think, is an underlying question that we've got in the working group. So not necessarily a clarification there. Although people might want to know how designs are verified. So it may fall into multiple categories. But I really it sounds like we like the description of the context, background, origin paragraph. Mary, David, is that enough instruction? Can you take it from there and provide kind of a clarifying question on communications of the verification criteria and helping people understand better what the Trademark Clearinghouse is accepting and what to do when they're being challenged? Okay. Moving on to, thank you for the discussion on that. I think that's great. Moving on to the question of education. The original question is, how can the TMCH provide education services not only for trademark owners but for registrants and potential registrants who are equally impacted by their services? And here I think we're talking about not just what's in the TMCH database but how it's being used in Sunrise and particularly in trademark claims, because that's when the registrants and potential registrants will be coming in. So Kurt, looks like you've rephrased it as should, and if so, how should the TMCH be responsible for education services for trademark owners, domain name registrants, and potential registrants? I'm okay with that as long as you add, if the TMCH is not responsible for education of any of these groups, who should be? I open to questions and discussions. Okay, is everybody okay with the question as I just amended it? Go ahead, Kurt.
So I think that's right. I think when the clearinghouse was set up, there wasn't a focus on this at all, and the Trademark Clearinghouse took up some educational and outreach activities, even though it wasn't included in their obligations. And I think it's, you know, a policy question with, you know, who should be responsible for education and outreach here. Should ICANN be helping out more affirmatively? Should it be included in the express obligations of the clearinghouse, that sort of thing? So I think your addition is good. And, you know, even though I reworded the question, it's incremental change, and it might be better or it might be worse. So I'm not wedded to the wording I put up either.
I like your change, Kurt. I'm waiting for others to, you know, input on the chat room or raising your hand or just speaking out. I like it because I think it helps us think about this in different slices. Education's a big question. So your question, the should, and if so, how should the TMCH be responsible, combined with if the TMCH, and maybe, Steph, you can put this on the right in our notes, if the TMCH, as a modification or an expansion, if the TMCH is not responsible for education to any of these groups, who should be? And the question makes sense, you know, how should a registrant find out what a trademark claims notice is when it pops up in front of them if they want more information? Okay. Susan, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Yes, I was going to say, I think that sounds okay. To be frank, I think if we reach the point where we conclude that the TMCH isn't responsible, I think we may well conclude that some other part of ICANN is responsible, or ICANN, the organization in some way, needs to find a new home for it. I'm not sure that we should be imagining that we'll spend a lot of time working out precisely within the ICANN organization who is responsible for education and awareness of RPMs and the new GTLD program generally. I mean, I think that goes a bit outside of scope, but I recognize that in the context of determining whether we think the TMCH should be doing this, we'll clearly come to a view if we think they shouldn't, that someone should.
Okay. Thanks, Susan.
So Susan, I think you're making a good point, and I'm not quite getting it. So how would you reword the question then? Would you leave it in its original form?
I would be happy with the version that you put, and I think it's almost implicit that in determining if the TMCH has a role in this, we're going to, you know, if our determiner's no, we're not saying there shouldn't be awareness, and so we'll almost implicitly be determining that ICANN should be finding a new home, or should be finding a home for awareness. I'm not sure it's our job to identify which department within ICANN should be dealing with this. That's all I'm saying.
Go ahead, Mary. And I'm just thinking this may be, you know, I'm not sure we have to decide this one way or the other. Go ahead, Mary.
Thanks, Kathy. Just to follow up on Susan's point, and you're right. I mean, we certainly, as the sub-team, don't need to decide this. But based on what Kurt and Susan are saying, I mean, I think the obvious response from folks would be, well, if not, then it should be ICANN. And we agree with Susan that it probably goes a little beyond the working group scope to sort of dive into that. However, I wanted to note that there is a work track 1 in the new GTLD subsequent procedures working group that is looking overall at the question of outreach, accessibility, etc. And so while this may be a little specific, you know, as appropriate when the time comes, this may be something that's appropriate for them to look at, and we can pass it to them at that point.
Okay, I'm going to take off my chair's hat for a second and say, I think it's completely inappropriate for us to say you only educate one side and not the other side. It lies within the balance of the rights protection mechanism to ensure that all using its processes are educated and have information they can go to, even if it's not webinars, but websites, FAQs, things like that. Right now, 100% of the time and resources have been spent educating trademark owners and not registrants. So I really think we should move on from here, but I think it's a legitimate question to give to the working group, not for a subgroup to say, yeah, we're not sure where this goes. I think it's an important gap that's been identified. And so, you know, and then I'll put my chair hat on again. But I really think we should move on because we know that there's a big category that we need to spend a lot of time on. So for final wrap-up, go ahead, Susan.
Okay. Well, I'm very happy to move on, but I would just like to put on the record that I don't think anyone said that we thought it was only appropriate to educate one side and not the other. We didn't mention that at all. I think all I was saying was that if we conclude the TMCH doesn't need to do outreach and urge, and then we probably are concluding that ICANN needs to find a new home for it. That was all I said.
Excellent. Okay, so the follow-up question, which is, if not the TMCH, then where? Sounds like it's a legitimate question. Okay, unless anybody objects, let's move on to where the core, as long as we're all together, I think we can do a lot of the other work online, but let's move down to suggested category balance. This is about the scope, the balance. We've got a lot of people on the call. Appreciate your time. It looks like we'll probably spend the next 25 minutes maybe in this area. So let me start with the original questions. We've all got them in front of us. And so the original question was, is the protection of the TMCH too broad? Is the TMCH providing too much protection for those with a trademark on a generic or descriptive dictionary word?
Hi. Apologies, Kathy. I think we've missed two.
I'm skipping them, Susan, so that we can focus on where
are
the
we?
I'm going to skip those, and maybe we can work on them online.
Okay.
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 Kind of go on to where the crux of the discussion has been, and just trying to maximize our time together, because I think other things we can probably clarify on the list quickly, or I'll move back to it. So we're on balance, and let's see. We've got the original question. We've got the revised question, which is just taking the original question and saying, is the protection too broad or too narrow or appropriate? Not to say that J. Scott drafted it, but he also adopted that when he talked about the three Goldilocks, you know, give all the options, too big, too little, just right. And then there's staff revision to this as well as CURT revision. So let me ask if people want to introduce their revisions, and we'll talk about it, because I think this is where the crux of our work could really be for today. Mary, do you want to introduce the staff revision?
Hi, Kathy and all. So what we put here is basically our attempt to capture the discussion that the sub-team had on the last call. And as we've noted here, the idea was to create a general question with more specific sub-questions or points that capture the nuances of the suggestions that were made. So again, like we're not wedded to this wording. We just wanted to provide something for the working group, the sub-team to look at, rephrase, and edit.
Kurt, do you want to talk about your edited version and what you were basing it off of? Thanks.
No, but I will channel J. Scott a little bit. And so remember, the Trademark Clearinghouse really is just a database. It's just a cost reduction mechanism, and the protections really emanate from the Sunrise and Trademark Claims period. So I wonder if we should put a fine point on that in the question, and also in the wording of the questions, recognize that registries before the Trademark Clearinghouse also had Sunrise and Trademark Claims periods that that varied in their implementation. Some could be tighter or more leaning more towards trademark holders, and some not. So, So Susan said yes. So maybe Susan can put in better wording than anybody has so far. But maybe it should go to does the present implementation of the Sunrise period or the trademark claims period negatively affect the rights of either trademark holders or registrants with a legitimate interest in dictionary or other terms, something like that. Susan, you go.
Thank you. I was just going to say, I'm not going to get into the sort of sub clauses, if you like, but just in terms of the first part, I think what we should be just saying is, does the scope of the TMCH and the rights protections that stem from it reflect the appropriate balance? And that's the point, because otherwise the answer to does the scope of the TMCH reflect the appropriate balance kind of is kind of yes, because it doesn't it's not a right to protection. So I think what we should be looking at when we're thinking about this question is not the TMCH in isolation, but the TMCH plus its RPMs, so the claims in the Sunrise.
Okay, so it sounds like the modification of the question that we're talking about, tell me if I'm totally off the wall. I've got Jay Scott's version, I've got the original question. So is the protection of the TMCH database combined with the Sunrise and the claims notice and the private RPMs too broad, too narrow, or just right?
No. I don't think that is the point. I mean, the private RPMs are not, are certainly something that are within scope, and that's a whole separate question, but the private RPMs are not something that's an ICANN mandated. So what we need to look at first is what's been mandated. We separately have a whole load of questions where we'll have to consider DPML and other. And I think phrasing it as creates the appropriate balance between the rights of the trademark holder and the legitimate and the rights of non-trademark holder registrants is the appropriate way, not to start going too broad, too narrow, just right. I think the term, I don't see what's confusing about balance.
One might argue that it's the last question, not the first. Like, first that you have to kind of look at... I talked to the original question drafters, but I'll wait for Mary, and then I'll put myself in the queue. Go ahead, Mary.
Thanks, Kathy. So 2 points. I think in terms of the private protections, like the block services that are additionally offered by certain registry operators, maybe that's something we can put a square bracket around, because our understanding on the staff side is that how we deal with that within this subgroup is something that's still under consideration, including by the chairs. So this is something that we can just bracket for now and say, once that is something that's been agreed on, we can put it back in or put it somewhere else as the case may be. The other point that we wanted to raise is that going by Susan's and Jay Scott's comments, as well as this, how the TMCH really works, our suggestion would be that this question, if Susan's rephrasing is appropriate and accepted by all, that this is something that we probably need to come back to after we are completed with the Sunrise and the claims, because then we really can't answer this question without. So one recommendation on this we can make to the full working group is retain this as a primarily TMCH question, but this is something that we will return to at the appropriate time. Thanks.
Okay. No, I think there's some disagreement with Susan's wording, and I'm looking forward to others joining in. But the purpose of the original question, which is in our charter, seems to be not a balance one, but a legal one. Are we providing protection in the TMCH? And here it's broad. It doesn't say TMCH database or processes like the Sunrise. So I think we can interpret all of that into it. I don't see any reason why not. But are we providing protection for trademark owners that may go beyond what they're being given, what they have in the real world? Again, I invite others to participate, but it seems to be a fact-based question. The balance question seems to be our question at the end of the day, but I'm not sure it supplants the fact-based question that we've been asked to look at in the charter. Certainly open this to others for comment.
Kathy, this is Mary. May I jump in?
Sure.
And I guess the difficulty here is that the question does just say Trademark Clearinghouse. And without the associated mandated Sunrise and claims notice, it essentially is, as I think others have said, a database, and the description of the TMCH itself says it's a repository of marks. So I'm not sure if the question is, to the extent that it's talking about the TMCH without the associated mechanisms, are we talking about entry into the TMCH? By your last comment, I think that's the question that I have. When you say too much protection that they don't already have in the real world, the only thing that I can see is that you as a trademark owner, and there's three categories, you can put your trademark into the clearinghouse if you wish. Is that what the question is getting at?
Could you say that again, Mary? Is it getting at what you put in the database or how it's used? Is that the question?
Well, yes. Is the question getting at how you get into the database, meaning the categories of marks? Because when we talk about how it's used, then we must be looking at Sunrise, etc.
That's a good question. I would have to go back to the drafters on that one. So if we were to draft it with both the database itself and open the question to the working group with the database itself and also add the uses of the database, because it sounds like that's more the operational, are the uses of it, of the, is this right then? Is the protection or the use of the Trademark Clearinghouse database too broad, too narrow, or just right? Is the TMCH through the RPMs, trademark claims, and private uses providing too much protection, too little protection, just right protection, particularly for those with the trademark involving generic terms or descriptive and dictionary words? Does that get better to what people think the purpose of the question is? Go ahead, Susan.
Honestly, Kathy, I think that just ended up being three paragraphs saying the same thing as I was trying to say. What I was saying was, you know, the TMCH doesn't give any protection. So it's the TMCH together with the RPMs that fall off it or run off it that we're trying to look at here. I don't understand why that seems to be a concern, unless what you're really asking about is, you know, are categories of marks that are too broad being put in the TMCH? And that's a very different question because, you know, and maybe that is the question you're asking, but that's not protection being granted by the TMCH because you don't get any protection for putting your mark in there. You just get the ability to participate in the other protections.
Thanks, Susan. Phil, let's see if you can clarify. Would appreciate it. Phil, if you're speaking, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
Apologies for failing to unmute the first time. At the risk of being repetitive to what's already been said, TMCH is just a database. I think the only germane questions about the TMCH itself is whether the eligibility criteria for listing a mark in the TMCH are the proper ones and whether they're being adequately enforced. Then we have ICANN required RPMs that key off TMCH registration, which is the claims notice and the ability to do Sunrise registrations. And then we have additional services offered by both the TMCH itself and by certain registry groups that are tied to TMCH registration. So that's the three different layers that I see in all of this. And Mary is correct. The co-chairs are considering the proper way to address private sector protections tied to the TMCH. We're going to be communicating with the working group on that shortly. But right now, we're just looking at the database and trademark claims and Sunrise, and then we can go beyond that and look at other things that are tied to CMCH registration, because they form another part of the entire picture of what's out there right now in terms of right protection mechanisms. So you can't ignore the other stuff and get a complete picture of what's going on. That's my two cents.
So Phil, before you get off then, are we talking about questions? Because obviously we don't want to drop a charter question. If it belongs appropriately in another category and we can help with that. So are we talking about pulling this question completely out of the TMCH clearinghouse database evaluation and adding it to Sunrise, adding it to RPMs, adding it to private purposes? Should we go there? Is that
about this balance question? Is that what we're still on?
Yep.
Well, I think it's phrased incorrectly. It's not the protection that TMCH is, it's the rights protection mechanisms based upon TMCH registration. I think we have to be precise about our questioning. You know, so I'm agreeing with the others who said there's no protection granted just by registering in the TMCH. What it does is give you access to the other protections, the claims notice that you get, and then you can decide what to do about it, the ability to take advantage of Sunrise registrations if you wish to. And then there are other protections available in the marketplace from both the TMCH and certain registry groups that are built upon that TMCH registration. So I'm just saying you got to disaggregate the database and the qualifications for getting in the database from all the actual protections that are tied to that database registration.
Okay.
In terms of asking the questions.
So it does sound like we need to move part of this question, or at least some interpretation of this question, into other categories. So looking at, are the RPMs based on the TMCH database too broad?
Right. Yeah.
Too narrow or just right? Is the TMCH, are the RPMs based on the TMCH database providing too much protection? Da da da. It sounds like we move copies of those questions into Sunrise, trademark claims, and private purposes.
Yeah, I would go with that, because I think the only broad or narrow question about the TMCH itself is whether the criteria for getting in are too broad or too narrow for registering a mark, and then whether the operator is doing a correct job in vetting those credentials for registrations. But everything else is beyond the TMCH itself. It's tied up with the things, the RPMs that are tied to it.
So would it be a reasonable question to ask, are the current requirements for the TMCH itself, than to ask, are the current requirements to be included in the TMCH database sufficiently rigorous, given how the database is used and its impacts? Would that be a valid question for right now?
Well, I think it's two separate questions. One, are the current requirements, the eligibility standards for putting a mark in the database, are they the proper standards? Are they too high or too low? And then look at, are they actually being implemented properly? So that's just about getting a mark into the database. But everything else is about the separate protections tied once you have that mark in the database.
Okay. So where should we put...
I'm just saying we should be very precise in our questions.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
So where should we put the question, as staff has phrased it, and Kurt, I know you've rephrased it. So, but the overall question, does the scope of the TMCH reflect the appropriate balance as between the rights of trademark holders and the rights of non-trademark holders? Where and when, and this is not just a question for Phil, but we'll kick off the discussion if that's okay. Where we don't want to lose that, I don't think, either. Where should we put that? Go ahead, Susan.
I think provided that the question says, does the scope of the TMCH together with the rights protections that flow from it or that rely on it, reflect the appropriate balance. I think that could stay in a category called balance if we want, but it may just be that that's not the starting place of our work, but rather the end of our work. Do you know what I mean? You mentioned at the beginning, we may, as we're talking about these, come up with some ideas about the order in which we're addressing questions. This is probably not our first question. This is almost kind of a conclusion that we'll probably draw at the end of our work. Does that seem reasonable? I don't think we need to worry about losing it. I don't think we're losing it. It's just it's a question that needs to keep being considered as we consider the underlying RPMs and indeed throughout the course of our work.
I totally think you've got it. Okay, so moving this balance question then, and I'm not sure about the ones that follow. We should, we're almost at the hour. We've got 5 minutes. But moving this balance question, as staff has defined it, to kind of an ending question for the TMCH, for this section. So we're gonna take specific questions about the RPMs themselves. I think staff's caught it. And we're gonna move it to Sunrise and claims and private RPMs. About the protection levels, but keeping the scope question and making sure that it's looked at, that the balance, when we get to the end, that the balance is looked at overall. Susan, I think you've got it. So for this particular question, as staff's defined it, it looks like we're recommending now to put it at the end of our charter questions for the TMCH clearinghouse. That works to me. Does anybody object? Great. Let's see. I'm trying to think of the best. I think in light of that, we should be able to look at the other questions and try to figure out, particularly in balance, whether they're questions that are intended for the TMCH providers and clearinghouse review, which is what these questions are, or whether they're questions that should be going into other categories of our review. Maybe once we see a rewritten version, this will all make more sense. Does that make any sense? Is there anything anyone would like to raise about a favorite question? Kurt, you looked at this in detail. Do you want to raise a favorite question down the list that we should look at as we're reviewing?
You mean on this whole list, Kathy?
On this whole list, because we've only got 3 more minutes, and it looks like we're going to have one more meeting before we go to India.
I think we're going to have one more meeting. I think we all – so I have some favorite questions, but I think all of us have different cruxes, as you put it. So, we should endeavor to touch on them all, and maybe we can meet the beginning of next week or something like that.
Is anyone not in town next week? Early next week, because I know we're all leaving at different times later next week. Mary, go ahead. Maybe you can suggest a good path forward.
Well, I don't know about that, Kathy, but David and I have been discussing this, and we would like to propose that if the sub-team is available, that indeed you do one more call before Hyderabad, and we would like to suggest using the regular working group slot of Wednesday rather than the sub-team slot of Friday. That will allow folks time before Hyderabad, although not as much time to review any updates we can provide. It will also allow staff time before Hyderabad to capture any further updates that the team might come up with next week. And the reason we're suggesting that is that if we look at the calendar, typically we don't meet the week after an ICANN meeting. So that would mean the week of the 14th of November would be a meeting-free week. The week following that is the 21st, and that is Thanksgiving week for the U.S., and many of our members are U.S.-based. So if we take that out, it basically means that the first time this group will come back together is the last week of November. That raises the question, particularly for Kathy and Phil and Jay Scott, as to the timing and the expected receipt of the final list of questions by the full working group so that they can start diving into the TMCH. So I'm sorry to introduce all of these elements 1 minute before the end, but if we can at least agree on the time of the next call, perhaps the chairs and staff can discuss the remaining questions.
Is anybody a registry? Do we know what time the registry stakeholder call is for next week? Mary, what time do we have a time we'd suggest for next week?
There isn't one next week. We're very lucky. It's
okay.
The rotation was this week. So
okay. So noon or 1 o'clock is okay Eastern time. Great. Does anybody object to using our normal Wednesday slot? I think that's a very good idea. We did, in terms of when this is owed, sooner rather than later. We've actually somewhat promised the working group that they'll have the charter questions by the end, by our meeting, that we were going to close our meeting in Hyderabad with the revised charter questions. So if there's any way to have a deliverable by the end of next week, but I don't want to put too much pressure on because people are traveling and packing and getting children ready and things like that. So I think, Mary and David, if you have time to give us another revision, we will call a meeting then for Wednesday, no one's objected, and see if we can finish this up with Kurt's guidance in his edited column, thank you, and the guidance that we're getting online and in the chat room. Thank you very much.
This is Mary again. Can I just jump in really quickly? It may help for next week and looking ahead to Hyderabad if this sub-team could take a look at the list, including Kurt's suggestions, and perhaps on the list we can agree on which are the questions we really should be discussing, and in Hyderabad we can perhaps present those that are complete as well as those that we think might be more difficult to the working group, but just a way forward for next week at least.
But Mary, let me just check that you're going to take the current table and work with it based on what we've discussed today. So we've got revisions to guidance.
Yes.
We've got revisions to balance. We've got revisions to order. And so when we work with that, that'll be our starting point for next week.
We were going to suggest that while the staff do the update, because the updates, as we understand, really are only to a couple of questions, that there are some remaining questions in the table. And so the sub-team could look at the remaining questions and agree, if possible, which are the ones you also want to be discussing next Wednesday, preferably all, but realistically, we can't get through all of them. Which are the ones to prioritize?
Sounds good to me. Sounds like a discussion for the list, but I would hope we'd be able to get through everything by next week. I don't know about others. I think we've covered some of the more sensitive and difficult of the questions. The others may fall into categories from there. To be continued. Thanks, everyone. Sorry we're 2 minutes over. Thanks to Mary and David for the work that they're about to do, and have a good weekend, everyone. Any final thoughts, comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.